Welcome to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff. The show is heard on WBCQ every Tuesday and Friday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, although the times do change every so often, so you may want to double-check that. And not only can you pick it up on WBCQ out of Monticello, Maine, but you can also, with a shortwave, so you can also get it on our Podomatic page. Just go to podomatic.com and put in Camp Constitution. You can also find it on our YouTube channel every so often. We don't put every show up, but we put a lot of the shows, we think, and I'll probably think I'm going to put this one on. It's brought to you by Camp Constitution, which, among all things, runs a week-long family camp, and the next camp will be this year, July 19th to the 24th in beautiful Singing Hills Christian Camp and Retreat Center in Plainfield, New Hampshire, which is just a little south of West Lebanon, a beautiful venue. You can check out Singing Hills Christian Camp and show and see what the venue is. Now, this show I'm going to dedicate to Dr. Clarence Gamble. Now, who is this guy, Dr. Clarence Gamble? Well, Dr. Gamble was the heir to the Procter & Gamble fortune. He was the grandson of Clarence Gamble, one of the co-founders. He traveled around the world promoting sterilization, eugenics, and birth control. He eventually made his way to Greater Boston. He taught at the Harvard School of Public Health. He also lived in the town of Milton, Massachusetts. Nice little kind of a well-to-do town just outside of Boston, actually just right across the Ponset River, and then you have Milton. And he was also a very close colleague of Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. And when this show airs Tuesday, but Monday will be the celebration of the birthday of Martin Luther King, who was known to be this great civil rights advocate. But few people know that he was the first recipient of the Margaret Sanger Award in 1966. Sanger had died sometime either earlier in 66 or 65. And there were a handful of people who received the first Margaret Sanger Award. It included Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson, who was president, was a big supporter of birth control, and so was Martin Luther King. And so the reason why he was promoting that was something called the Negro Project, which I'll get into in a few minutes. But I want to go back to Clarence Gamble and Margaret Sanger. I was aware of this letter dated December 10th, 1939, that was addressed to that came from Margaret Sanger and sent to Dr. Gamble at his home in Milton. And I'm familiar with the neighborhood. So it would have been in November 30th of 2018, I visited the neighborhood along with my good friend and Camp Constitution instructor and colleague, Reverend Stevie Kraft. And we were across the street from the home. Now, I don't know who lives in this house now. It probably has no connection to the Gamble family, although he did have five children, and I don't know if there's still some family members that may own that, but that's really not so relevant. I just wanted to give a sense of authenticity to the letter. Anyway, the letter was by Margaret Sanger, and I'm going to read some of it. We did a video with Reverend Kraft reading this letter and making this commentary. It's on our YouTube channel, Camp Constitution. And it was interesting that just a short distance from this house was the birthplace of George H.W. Bush. And I let Reverend Kraft know it's a private residence. It's not a museum. And it was just sort of a coincidence that H.W. died that day. He died, we did the video in the morning, late morning, and he died sometime that late afternoon in Texas. And then I thought, you know, Prescott Bush was one of these insider Republicans. He was a skull and bonesman, like his son and grandson. And I'm thinking, I wonder if he had any connection to Dr. Gamble. And I discovered that Prescott Bush, which you can go online and find out pretty easily, was the first treasurer of Planned Parenthood. Now, it was known as the Birth Control League, and then at some point, I think it was in the early 40s, 40 or 41, that it became Planned Parenthood, and it was headquartered in New York City. Anyway, I was just speculating that I think these two men must have known each other, and they were no doubt colleagues, and I was hoping to find some documentation. So now I've been meaning to do this for a while, and things get busy, so I finally took the time to visit the Clarence Gamble papers, or the archive, which is at the Harvard Harvard Medical School Library. And this was last week. I had a chance to look at the papers, and there were three files, folders. There were so many folders, I don't know, maybe 20 folders in each file. And I spent about 3 hours there. I could have spent more time. I did not find any connection, at least in the documents that I looked at. And it was mostly correspondence. There was some birth control review magazines. There was a couple of other pamphlets and things like that. But there was any mention of Prescott Bush. But I actually found some things that were quite fascinating, quite interesting. And one of them was the original letter that was sent to Gamble. It was 3 pages typed on notepaper, like a stationary notepaper, sort of a small. Now, the one that you'll see, the one that I copied that I had, was something from the Sanger Library. And the Sanger Library was her papers at Smith College, which is in Northampton, Massachusetts, about an hour and a half from me here in Boston. So I'm going to share some of this stuff. And what I've done is I took about 70 pictures, maybe a few more, with my cell phone camera, which came out pretty good. I just took pictures of the letters. None of this stuff, to my knowledge, with the exception of another copy of the Sanger letter, has been made available to the public. So I took the letters, took pictures of them, and I put them on my, I put them on my Facebook page, Hal Shurtleff, but I also put them on Camp Constitution's Facebook page as an album. So it makes it easier for people who want to do the research. You know, you can download the pictures and, you know, where you think you could use them. Like I say, there was about 70, maybe a little less than that. But one, I'd say the most damning one was the first one, just dated December 10th. And it just says, it's good to know that you are. This is to Dr. Gamble by Mrs. Margaret Sanger. And she's just doing some small talk here. But then, second paragraph, as to my sending suggestions to the Federation, that's the Birth Control Federation, I think it is really unfair for me to contact the different reactions. It only holds up definite project to have the pros and cons batted about, which makes for more chaos and confusion. And then the second page, let's see here. Okay, it's page 2, which is where the more damning part of the. I'm accessing it on my computer, and it's a little dark. Here we go. Okay. There is only one thing that I would like to be in touch with, and that is the Negro Project of the South, which, if the execution of the details remain in Miss Rosa's hands, my suggestions will not be confusing because she knows the way my mind works. Now, let me just comment. Miss Flores is Florence Rose, and she was the liaison to the black community. Miss Rose sent me a copy of your letter of December 5th, and I note that you doubt it worthwhile to employ a full-time Negro physician. It seems to be from my experience where I have been in North Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas, that while the colored Negroes, that this is very interesting because you use the term colored Negroes as if they're white Negroes or non-colored Negroes, the colored Negroes have great respect for white doctors that can get closer to their own members Okay. So she's saying the colored Negroes have great respect for white doctors. She should have put a comma there. They can get closer to their own members and more or less lay their cards on the table, which means their ignorance, superstitions, and doubts. They do not do this with the white people. And if we can train the Negro doctor at the clinic, he can go among them with enthusiasm and with knowledge, which I believe will have far-reaching results among the colored people. His work, in my opinion, should be entirely with the Negro profession and the nurse, hospital, social workers, as well as the county's white doctors. His success will depend upon his personality and his training by us. The minister's work is also important and also should be trained, perhaps by the Federation, as to our ideals and the goal that we hope to reach. And I point this out, I'm pointing out, I'm making my comment here. She's talking about clergy members. And so the goal was to attract black doctors and members of the clergy to promote the goals. And I would say that she's been successful beyond her wildest imagination, because the black population of the United States has been pretty much stable at 13%, because of the mainly due to the high amount of abortion. There are some cities where there's more black babies aborted than they're actually born, I think New York City being one of them. Okay, so getting back to the letter, the minister's work is also important and also should be trained, perhaps by the Federation, as to our ideals and the goal that we hope to reach. We do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. Now, some people have taken this to say that they did indeed want to exterminate the Negro population. I don't believe she was advocating extermination. She was advocating birth control and a vast reduction of the Negro population, but I don't think she was advocating outright extermination. But she mentioned the rebellious members of those uppity, the old redneck types would say, the uppity niggers, that get out of hand and we got to keep them in line. And this is what I would call the white elitist racism, that they know what's best. These white leftists know what's best for the poor black, and we're their friends. And most of these people who support this agenda, way back in Prescott Bush, he supported the Civil Rights Act. He was a big supporter of Martin Luther King, and they support all of the leftist goals, more welfare and more government programs. And at the same time, they promote their population to be controlled. I agree with you that Miss Rose has done a remarkable job in thinking through and planning the project, but she has worked on it for some time. As soon as I know there was possibility of getting any money, I put it at work drafting the plan for Mr. Lackner. She is excellent at just such a job. She hangs on to details, weaves and correlates them in design. And I actually did a little research. There's not a whole lot about Florence Rose, although her papers are in the also at the library in Smith College in Northampton. It just ends with some small talk about him getting better. He was in some had some health issues, but there was some correspondence before that, which I thought quite fascinating. And and all these letters are up there on the site here. Now, this is a letter dated, this is actually 1955, so I'm kind of going out a little bit. So the project's been started in 1939. And this is a letter that Mrs. Sanger received from Lydia Allen DeVilbiss, MD. In reply to your letter of January 27th, the Little Bayview Clinic here on 1257 3rd Street, Sarasota, Florida, has ordered a case of the Duraform for their Negro patients. Durex sent me a second sample, which I gave to the local director, Sarasota County Health Unit. Dr. Wright was so impressed and is consulting the physicians we are working with this. He also said we should see the something Board of Health department directed, and possibly we can interest other county health clinics to investigate this product by a trial in other counties. Our Negro birth rate is too high, also maternal death rate. So they're saying this Durafoam, it was a, I don't think it's on the market anymore, and it may not have ever been put on the market for I know, I couldn't find anything about it. But this was an abortifacient, a spermicide that was used to, basically they were experimenting on these blacks in Sarasota. This really should get people ticked off. I mean, here they are. You know, that's not the first time they've done that. They did that project with the Tuskegee Institute. There was a group of black men from, I think the project started in the 30s and ended in the 60s. And basically these poor guys thought they were being treated for various venereal diseases, and they weren't. They were given a placebo, and it was just to see who got better and what happened to them, what have you. It was just tragic how these things happen. So I think that is one of the more damning letters. And like I say, I have these letters on my Camp Constitution's Facebook page. Then she goes on, Margaret Sanger. Okay, let's see. Okay, I'm trying to find the right letter here because I'm not able to look at it, the whole thing at the same time, so I got to go through each letter. And again, you can find these on Camp Constitution's Facebook page. You can find all of these letters. Well, let me just go into some of the letters that I, instead of reading them, I just kind of, one of the letters, she's writing to Gamble, and she's lamenting that she doesn't really think she's accomplished much because and this would be from the early 50s, she can hear the screaming and shrills of children on school playgrounds. And this particular letter I had was underlined with some pencil underlining. I don't know who did that, but it was kind of shocking. Where what was she expecting school playgrounds to be quiet, have no sounds whatsoever? And I just thought, wow, you talk about these white elitists. They also were very active in India, in Japan, and Clarence was trying to get Margaret to get the Nobel Peace Prize, and there were a lot of letters that were being sent by Clarence to various well-known officials who must have something to do with the voting of the Nobel Peace Prize or those who advocate, including a letter to the famous English atheist, what's his name? Why I'm not a Christian, he'll come to me. Urging her that she should be made head of the Bertrand Russell, that's his name, to be head of, given the Nobel Prize. Now, here's a letter from February 1940. Thanks for your, thank you, yours of February 1st, about Dr. Krushkink and Dr. Pierce. Encloses a copy of my letter to Mr. Kellogg. I hope that it will, what I said about your interests in mine represents what we both feel. And let me just come down here. Oh, I know what it was. They were, I won't read it verbatim, but I will kind of review it. What they were saying is that their field doctor was using the money, some of the money they were getting, for general medical issues, not just birth control. And Sanger didn't think it was a good idea. The money should be used strictly for birth control for the Negroes. And the doctor in the field said, well, look, he said, basically, if we offer them other services, the colleges will come flocking to our clinic. So in other words, let's get them in there on a different bait and switch, and we'll get these people starting to get their birth control. And there was other letters where they were, it was interesting, too, there was a Japanese doctor that had invited them. General MacArthur would not have her in Japan with birth control. Now, just think, World War II, millions of people were killed. Populations have been decimated, diminished. And here they are promoting birth control in Germany and other countries in Western Europe and England and India and also Japan. They lost a lot of men, yet not enough. We still have too many people being born, according to them. So MacArthur realized that this would be, Japanese would look at it as a real negative thing. What, you think there are too many of us? You want us have us wiped out? So, but Margaret was such an arrogant individual. She wanted to meet the emperor. You know, she thought it was important enough. She wanted to meet the emperor. So anyway, and there was also some of the files may have been missing because it would be, you know, file 3 and then file 5. I said, where's file 4? You know, it's not there. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know if there were some things. I thought they would definitely pull this letter out, the letter that came to her. They also talked about I get some of these are better. Oh, they talked about the Puerto Rican project where they had Puerto Rican women take the abortion pill. Now, the pill was something that was being developed. Dr. Sanger, his major thrust was to deal with spermicides and anything that would use for birth control, diaphragms and things like that. So the pill, something that was known as the pill, didn't come on the market for a while, but they were experimenting with it in Puerto Rico. And I thought that was pretty interesting. There was about 250, 260 or so Puerto Rican women that was being used. And let me get to, I've got some more Negro Project letters here. Let me just read these two. Like I say, there are about 70 letters. And Sanger also spent a lot of time in Mexico where she was promoting I don't say abortion. I know Planned Parenthood became the largest promoter of abortion in the United States and perhaps the world, but at this point they were strictly dealing with birth control. Abortion was still illegal up until, let's see, it was made legal in California thanks to Governor Reagan, Ronald Reagan, in 67 or 68 in New York State under Nelson Rockefeller, made it legal. And then Roe versus Wade, the infamous Roe versus Wade that basically struck down all of the state's laws against abortion. Good old Supreme Court, always rely on them to do the right thing. So so here's a letter from Clarence Gamble. And actually, one would ask why North and South Carolina does not already give such information and supplies it to their colored people. This would be birth control information. And while I have a great respect for Dr. Cooper, Norton, Sybilis, I do not believe that his project be directed or run by white medical men. The Federation should direct it with the guidance and assistance of the colored group, perhaps particularly and especially fortified for that, formed for that purpose. I hope these few words will not cause you to worry, but doubtless you have become philosophical and feel that those on the job at 501, that's an address in Manhattan, had best run the show. And what's interesting, just this this correspondence, it almost lacked, it seemed to be very little friendship. It was all business. Every time, I'm glad you're feeling better, but it was just business. You know, this is what we want to do. We get too many black people in the country, in the world. We get too many of these other groups, so we have to deal with this as quickly as we can. And let me see what I got here. Okay, so I got Arkansas. This was a letter sent by the Arkansas Eugenics Association, and it was also referenced to sterilization. Now, sterilization happened in this country before it happened in Nazi Germany, because it was done here in the 20s. Numerous states had laws where certain people were sterilized. In some cases, people were very normal, but it was supposed to be for imbeciles, what they considered imbeciles, the people not fit. And this is where the eugenics came in. The eugenics movement was to, I think they used the term racial hygiene. And what's interesting is that a lot of these people who were well-known leftists, they're still regarded. They've long since passed away, but they're still highly regarded in certain circles. And this part is sort of swept under the table. We know that all of these people, there might have been a couple of exceptions, were people of the far left. Almost everyone, I mentioned Prescott Bush, he was a Republican, but he was an establishment leftist. He wasn't a conservative. And there's actually a number of letters in this collection concerning Connecticut. Now, Connecticut had laws against birth control, and that led up to the infamous Griswold case. And both Sanger and Gamble were very much against what was going on. They didn't like the laws. They thought they were ridiculous. And Sanger blamed the Catholic Church. She was very anti-Christian, no doubt about it, especially anti-Catholic because of the stance the Catholic Church. Now, what's interesting, too, one of the early letters in the file from 1939 or 38 congratulated her. Gamble was congratulating Sanger, saying that the Methodist Church has now come out and support birth control, and he assumed that was her doing, that it was her influence that made this happen. And I thought, wow, isn't that something? Well, I listened to a sermon by Matthew Trewella, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, in Wisconsin. And he said up until the 1930s, every single Protestant denomination was against birth control. They believed, you know, that it was ungodly, and they believed in the concept of families, be fruitful and multiply. But little by little, you know, these people were infiltrating the churches. You know, the groups like the, it became the National Council of Churches. It was called the Federal Council of Churches. And people like Sanger, you know, were very active in getting people in there. But there's a letter, there was a, this is Ed Cornish, chairman of the Arkansas Eugenics Association, and she's writing to Gamble. Your letter came too late for me to reply by mail or even wire. Then I have set in an, oh, I can't read all this. However, I hardly agree with you. I heartily agree with you in your position. I have already written to Dr. Dickinson and established a copy of the letter. Hope the situation will clear up, and yes, keep me posted on developments. We have just established a clinic at Truman, Arkansas, where there are several hundred factory workers and their families. That means we now have four clinics in Arkansas, plus the Fort Smith Project, which is not really a clinic, but a place where clients are taken care of, referred by social agencies. We also hope to run a sponge and foam powder series here soon. So here they are, kind of giddy. And this letter is dated 1937. And at that time, Gamble was living, or the address here is Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, living in Philadelphia. So, and there were a number of letters like this from the eugenics people. So they, in fact, they officially changed their name, the eugenics organization. I don't know what it's called today, but they called something else, and it sounds very... I did a little research, and I, you know, couldn't exactly find. Now, here's something that I thought was very interesting. The Birth Control Review was a publication of the Birth Control League, or known as the American Birth Control League. Sanger had a Nazi doctor, Ernest Rudin, write an article. Rudin was in charge of the sterilization program in Nazi Germany, which. People who had retarded Down syndrome or retarded family members, they were sent, they were brought into these hospitals and they never came out. Well, they came out dead. And even in Nazi Germany, it was too much for the average German, and then they had to put a stop to it. So even in a totalitarian country like Nazi Germany, it was too much, and they had to put a stop to it, which they did, thankfully. I know, too, it's very interesting that there were Jewish rabbis that were members of this birth control review. And I'm wondering what they thought of, I would love to find, do a little more research to see what they had to say about it. But there was a little note here in the magazine. The magazine was about maybe 40 pages. I didn't take pictures of every I could have, but I'd still be there. But they mentioned a Joseph Lee of Boston, father of the American playground system. And Joseph Lee was a big advocate of killing or birth control. And I'm thinking, gee, here's a guy that was designed playgrounds for children. And here's Sanger lamenting that she can still hear children shrieking on playgrounds. And I just thought it was fascinating, just the hypocrisy of these people. You know, the utter hypocrisy, at least to me it's hypocrisy, that, yeah, I love children, but we have too many and we need to control them. Let me hear. I know we're running out of time here, but I want to On the letterhead, there's a birth control review with some interesting names here. One of them is a Mrs. Lamont. Lamont, let me see here. Board of directors here. This was from Connecticut. Now, Lamont was the Mrs. Lamont. A lot of ladies on the mastheads here. But she's actually the current governor, and Lamont's a far leftist. In fact, Lamont was this particular Lamont. His dad, the woman's husband's father. Here we go. Was very pro-fascist and actually lent money to Mussolini. His brother Colas Lamont was very pro-communist, but they were both leftist because, of course, Mussolini being a fascist is a man of the left. And so it's just interesting. My friends and there's a Rockefeller. It's also some letters I had here of Rockefellers that writing letters. They're raising money for the Rockefellers. And here, the American Birth Control League, you note from Arkansas, you see Mrs. Edward Cornish. So you see the eugenics movement and the Birth Control League work hand in hand. They were, two fingers on the same hand, so to speak. So we're running out of time here, folks, but I do want to encourage you to visit our Camp Constitution's Facebook page to get, you can download this information yourself. And I would just say spread it around. It would be so nice to see more black conservatives aware of this. A lot of people aren't aware of this at all, even though the information is not new. And with that, I want to thank you for listening. And until next week, may God richly bless you. You've been listening to Camp Constitution Radio with your host, Hal Shurtleff, heard on WBCQ The Planet.